Several years ago, there was a story about something amazing that happened in New York City. A construction worker named Wesley Autry was standing on the subway platform with his two little daughters waiting for a train. Then suddenly, another man on the platform who looked like he was suffering from a seizure fell down onto the subway tracks. Just at that moment, the headlights of an oncoming train could be seen down the tracks. Acting quickly and with obviously no thought for himself, Wesley jumped down onto the tracks to rescue the man by dragging him out of the way. But he realized immediately that the train was moving too fast, and there wasn't time to pull the man off the tracks. So Wesley pressed him down between the tracks and threw his own body over him. As a train went over, it barely missed Wesley. It was so close, in fact, that it left grease marks along the hat he was wearing. Immediately, and for good reason, you can see, Wesley Autry became a national hero. People were deeply moved by his selflessness, and they were amazed by his bravery. What he had done was a remarkable deed. He had no obvious reason to help this stranger. He didn't know the man. He had his daughters who were standing on the platform to think about. And what he did was at real risk to his own life. But a human being was in desperate need, and Wesley saw it and, moved with compassion, did what he could to save him. The Subway Superman, the press called him. But the headline on one newspaper described Wesley in more biblical terms. It read, "Good Samaritan saves man on subway tracks." Wesley Autry was indeed a good Samaritan. And when I heard this story, I wondered, if I had been there that day, what would I have done? Would I have had the courage to be a good Samaritan that day? Now, many people believe that this is exactly the question that Jesus wants us to think about. That's why they say he told this parable of the Good Samaritan in the first place. The parable of the Good Samaritan is probably one of Jesus' most familiar stories. I think even people who don't know anything about the Bible have heard of the Good Samaritan. And the way we usually hear this parable is as Jesus' way of getting us to ask ourselves, am I willing when the time comes to be a good Samaritan to other people? But I don't think that's the only way to understand what Jesus is saying in this story. Jesus was headed toward Jerusalem, and in a village along the way, he got involved in a conversation with a local expert in the law. This lawyer evidently didn't like Jesus' message, and he was pressing Jesus, trying to make him look foolish, attempting to expose a weakness in his teaching. "Teacher," he asks, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "You're the lawyer," Jesus basically says. "What does it say in the law? What do you read in the law?" Well, the lawyer knew the law, of course. We're here talking about the law of Moses, and he quoted it. "The law says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." "You're right," Jesus says. "Do this, and you shall live." But the lawyer was not going to let this drop so easily. "Aha, but wait just a second," he says to Jesus. "Who exactly is my neighbor?" In response to that challenge, Jesus tells the parable of the Good Samaritan. It's not the story about Wesley Autry, of course, but it's like it. Jesus' parable is about a man traveling down to Jericho who is mugged by robbers and left bleeding and near death beside the road. A man in desperate need of help. Nothing unusual about this, really. The road from Jerusalem to Jericho was notoriously dangerous. filled with thieves, unsafe to travel alone. So the fact that a man was beaten and robbed, well, that was probably a familiar story. Nothing shocking. But now, two genuinely shocking things do happen in Jesus' story. The first shock is that two people who could have helped, in fact, two people who probably would have been expected to help, a priest and a Levite, both religious people, mind you, came up the road, saw the man in trouble, and did absolutely nothing. They intentionally avoided him by crossing over to the other side of the road. This would be like saying that the pastor of Trinity Wall Street and a New York City police officer saw the man in trouble on the subway tracks and then shrugged their shoulders and walked away. That would be a shock. But if the first shock in the story is that people we would expect to help did nothing, the second, an even bigger shock, is that the last person in the world we would expect to help is the one who, in fact, mercifully and bravely rescues the injured man. Down the road, Jesus said, came a Samaritan. Now, Jesus, of course, is Jewish, and the lawyer and the rest of those listening to his telling of this parable are also Jews. Even the characters in the parable are Jews, the priest, the Levite, almost surely the injured man, maybe even the robbers. But here comes a Samaritan. And Jews and Samaritans have a bitter history of racial and religious hatred. They have nothing to do with each other. Jews and Samaritans are enemies. In fact, not only would the injured man not expect any help out of one of these despicable Samaritans, he probably wouldn't want any help from a Samaritan. Better to die in a pool of blood on the side of the road than even to be touched by a Samaritan. But it is this Samaritan, despised and shunned, who's moved with compassion and who tenderly cares for the injured man. Having told that story, Jesus now says to the lawyer, "Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" If you pay close attention to the story, the lawyer can't even bring himself to say the word Samaritan. He just says, "The one who showed mercy." "Go and do likewise," Jesus says. Now, as I said before, some people think that what Jesus is saying in this story is, "Okay, everybody, I want you to go out and be just like that good Samaritan. He cared for someone in need. I want you to imitate him. Go and do likewise." But there's a couple of problems with this. The first problem is that if this was really Jesus' point in telling the parable, then he probably would have told the story very differently. He would have made it into a simple moral example and left out any mention of a Samaritan. What he probably would have said is, there's a man in trouble, and three people passed him by who could have helped. The first one didn't, the second one didn't, the third one did help him. So be like the third one, and not like the first one and the second one. But this isn't a simple moral story. It's a parable. And parables always have something shocking, surprising, unexpected, something to be wrestled with and puzzled over. In this story, it's the fact that a Samaritan is the one who shows mercy to his enemy. That upends any simple explanation. There's something deeper going on here than merely, "Okay, folks, go out and be like the Good Samaritan." The second problem is even more significant. If Jesus' point is that he wants us to imitate the courageous compassion of the Good Samaritan, the sad fact is we can't do it. That's why what Wesley Autry did on that subway platform is so incredible and amazing. Almost none of us would have done it. It's simply not in our nature to forget about ourselves and risk everything for a complete stranger. In the early 70s, a famous experiment was conducted with seminary students. Researchers gathered a group of seminarians in a classroom and told them that each of them had an important assignment. Their assignment was to record a talk about the parable of the Good Samaritan. But there was a catch. The recordings were going to be done all the way on the other side of the campus, and because the schedule was so tight, they needed to hurry over there to get to that building and record their talks. Meanwhile, the researchers had planted an actor that played the part of a man in distress, slumped in an alley, coughing and moaning. Would these seminarians be good Samaritans? Well, no, as a matter of fact, they weren't. Almost all of them rushed past the man in distress. One student even stepped over the man's body as he hurried to teach about the parable of the Good Samaritan. Now, we shouldn't look down on these seminarians who couldn't put the parable of the Good Samaritan into practice, because really, neither can we. Knowing in our minds what the right thing to do does not mean we can actually do it when the time comes. If we're going to be good Samaritans, then this will mean more than a change of our mind. It will take a change of heart. And that's what this parable is all about. A change of heart. Robert Wuthnow, a professor at Princeton University, once conducted some research about why some people are generous and compassionate and others aren't. He found out that for many compassionate people, something had happened to them. Someone had acted with compassion toward them, and that experience changed their entire lives. Has anything like that ever happened to you? Yes, it has. That's the point of Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan. What the lawyer discovered and what we discover too is that we can't stand on the sidelines and figure out how to be good, defining our terms, is this person my neighbor or not, figuring out just what we have to do to inherit eternal life. We are incapable of being good Samaritans by our own strength. In other words, we are the man in the ditch, the one who lies helpless and wounded beside the road, the one who needs to be rescued. And along comes a good Samaritan named Jesus Christ, who comes to save us, speaks tenderly to us, lifts us in his arms, and takes us to the place of healing, so that we can, as Paul says in our reading today, lead lives worthy of the Lord. So the question is not the lawyer's, what is the definition of neighbor? The question is, who has been neighbor to you? Jesus Christ has been neighbor to you. Have you felt his mercy make your heart more merciful? It's not about doing what the Good Samaritan did. It's about letting God transform our hearts into a heart of mercy and compassion. Go and do likewise.